Welcome to Talking Supply Chain. In each episode, you'll hear from the authors that make Supply Chain Management Review such a special publication. This podcast is hosted by Bob Troublecock, Editorial Director of Supply Chain Management Review. Remember that Bob welcomes your comments now to today's episode. Welcome to today's episode of Talking Supply Chain. Why can't I get a pallet to save my life? I'm Bob Troublecock, and joining me today is Doug Geyer. Doug is the Director of Procurement and Sales Support for Millwood, one of the largest producers and suppliers of new and used wooden pallets in the country. Doug, welcome.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk a little bit about what's happening in the world of pallets.
Well, we're looking forward to it. I love talking about pallets. And in fact, a few weeks ago, I was talking to a VP of supply chain at one of the country's largest suppliers of one of those essential ingredients found in every kitchen in America, if not the world. As we were speaking, two of her plants were shut down, and a third was probably soon to follow. Why? Because it couldn't get corrugated to pack product off the line or pallets to ship it all out. Since then, I've read one article after another about shortages of everything from chips for high-tech electronics to seat foam to make seats, snowmobiles, to a crazy pallet market contributing to supply chain disruptions. Well, that's why I reached out to Doug. For those of you who followed me over the years, pallets are in my blood. My family's been in the pallet industry for 60 years. My first job out of college was working in a family-owned pallet plant where I did everything from load the trucks to nail a pallet runner to my hand. And full disclosure, Millwood is co-owned and managed by one of my cousins. So with that out of the way, Doug, let's start with a basic question. What the heck's happening in the pallet market right now?
Well, Bob, that's a great place to start. And I would tell you that right now, the market for pallets is really explained just through the simplest of all economic principles of supply and demand. The supply is not what it needs to be and has been slowly receding really for a number of years now. And the demand for pallets currently has just skyrocketed as the country has emerged from the pandemic. Our customers are as busy or busier than they have ever been throughout the course of the time that we've enjoyed their business. And this seems to be across all sectors of the economy, whether it's food and beverage, construction, even automotive, with the challenges all these markets have faced. Everyone is demanding as many or more pallets than they did before the pandemic. And our industry has been a little slower to recover coming out of the pandemic, primarily due to some shortages, not only in material, but in labor. So the challenge for us has been meeting those demands in such a way that we don't run organizations out of pallets. And, you know, some of the scenarios that you mentioned in your opening, we are certainly experiencing on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, we're working hard to just keep everyone somewhat supplied at this point and allocate those supplies as best we can. The market is just, it's undersupplied at this point, essentially, is what I would say is driving everything.
You said something interesting about, you know, supply receding for a couple of years. In other words, not just pandemic related. Because I was thinking, you know, there are shortages of things like chips because the chip factory burned down or things like that. But, you know, trees didn't stop growing during the pandemic, right? I remember coming out of 2008 and I was talking to, I don't know if he still is, but the then CEO of Pallet One. And one of the things he said to me, and I wondered if this is what you were alluding to earlier, he said, I'm really concerned about supply going forward because so many sawmills and pallet shops, you know, shut down during the financial crisis. And then he was talking about a labor, you know, shortage even back then. And I wondered when you talked about, you know, that this has been an ongoing kind of situation, Has that been the case? Are we losing, you know, sawmills and pallet shops? And if so, you know, it doesn't sound like the usual seasonal thing that hits the pallet market because of weather. It sounds more like it's a trend impacting the industry right now. So what's going on there?
So there, the pallet industry, the pallet manufacturers are primarily made up of many very small business owners, traditionally 15 employees or less, family-owned businesses that have been around for, you know, one and sometimes two generations, Bob. You know, as this current generation of ownership is reaching a point in their career or where they would like to retire and sell their business or have their offspring take it over, you know, and continue on in the family line of work. It seems like generationally, we're reaching a point where many of those younger generations are not interested in continuing on within the family business. And so these operations are slowly shutting down or going out of business, or in some instances, selling their businesses to larger organizations. There is some consolidation going on in the world of pallets these days, but there are, you know, big players emerging out of that. But there's still, the industry is primarily supplied by these mom and pop type operations. And they're struggling and have been struggling for a number of years. Really, I think the roots of our supply situation stretch back at least 5 years in the fact that, as I said, the younger generation is more interested in a furthering themselves academically, possibly getting into career choices that don't involve pallet operations and all the hard work that it takes to run a pallet operation, and are just going on to other careers and interests and not interested in continuing on with the family business. So as those people continue to drop out, it will further just drive down the amount of production available. That's also true, certainly in the sawmill industry. As you mentioned, Bob, standing timber in the United States is still at record levels in 2021, comparatively. And, you know, we're not running out of wood fiber to produce pallets out of, but we are running out of the people that want to go out into the forests and harvest that timber and bring it in and produce it into something that we can use for a pallet. The other markets where we traditionally need them to be utilizing lumber so we can get the lumber for our industry, which is, you know, typically the worst lumber out there. Furniture grade lumber, flooring grade lumber, lumber for ties, all these other markets that utilize the same type of material we do require a higher grade of lumber. And what the pallet industry is traditionally left with is the heartwood or the wood that doesn't make the grade for these other industries. And as these other industries suffered a decline in business through the pandemic as well, we flowed right along with that. We weren't able to get lumber for our industry. Now, as everybody has emerged out of the pandemic and the demand for that supply has ramped up, it's caused the prices to skyrocket, especially in softwood. Softwood, southern pine, the spruce pine firs out of Canada, all your North American species broke record after record, really well into late May. And then the market seemed to turn, and it's been dropping dramatically now for about the last 4 or 5 weeks. And you mentioned that this news actually became available in the mainstream media, right? The Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, everybody was reporting on it. The consumers were going into the big box stores and they're seeing prices for 2x4s that were just incredible. Plywood was at, you know, $55 a sheet or, you know, $60 a sheet. And it was adding an astronomical amount of cost to the price of building a house. And those markets now have started to turn and are dropping back dramatically right now. So that will help our industry a little bit in terms of getting supply on the softwood side. But the hardwood, which most pallets are traditionally made from, is now really experiencing that same type of price pressure. And we're seeing just great upward price movement on the hardwood side, because there are not sawmillers, there are not family logging operations doing what they used to do. We're also seeing a lot of price pressure on the recycled market side, and that has some effect of what CHEP and PECO decided to do during the pandemic as well. And they're coming out of their business strategy and revising their business strategy. But the recycled market is also very challenging right now on recycled pallets. The prices are at all-time highs and very difficult to get. So all of this, though, like I said, stems back about 5 years because we just don't see people coming into our industry like they used to. And so the supply is going to continue to tighten as people become interested in other careers and don't necessarily want to pursue a career in the pallet industry. And like I said, the demand for pallets is still very strong. It's still the most widely recognized and useful and economical shipping platform there is the wooden pallet. And even though some of these prices have approached the levels of a plastic pallet or some of these alternatives that are out there, those still have a very limited percentage of the marketplace. The pallet industry is really supplied 95-97% plus by wooden pallets.
So you just outlined my retirement strategy, which is to open a pallet shop in the summer. by the way, you said something kind of unrelated to what we're talking about, but I think it was pretty important. And I just want to real quickly reiterate it and have you comment, but we'll keep that brief, which is this. I get one press release after another touting the benefits of certain alternative pallets, and they always end with, and, you know, by using this, you will prevent deforestation. And, you know, sometimes a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. I know a little bit about how we make pallets. And what I always try to explain to people is you don't go into the forest and cut down a tree to make a pallet. You go into the forest to cut down a tree to make furniture and to make railroad ties, all those things you mentioned. And what's left over is the pallet. But you don't start with, let's cut that tree down and make a bunch of pallets out of it. I'm correct, right?
That is absolutely correct, Bob. We live off of the product that does not make grade for all of the other industries that use hardwoods and softwoods.
Great. I wanted to talk about the different markets. Now, you just hit on the used pallet and the new wooden pallet market, you know, as being pretty constrained right now. So I don't need to go over those again. And you touched briefly on, you know, CHEP and PECO, but what is happening in the pooled pallet market? What I've heard is that, you know, just like FedEx and UPS putting their big shippers, you know, on allocation, saying we're only going to take so many packages a week, I had heard that CHEP and PECO had put some customers on allocation, like we can only get you so many pallets. What's happening in that pooled market from what you know?
So the pooled market is very interesting right now, and I'm not as familiar with PECO's strategy as I am with CHEP's, but the both of those pallets are manufactured using southern pine, southern yellow pine, and that is the same type of material that when you're traditionally going into a big box store and you're going to do a backyard project or do your deck or whatever it is at your home, that's what you're typically going to be purchasing, is either a southern yellow pine or some type of a softwood from Canada. So that's what the PECO and CHEP pallets are manufactured from. As I alluded to earlier, we saw unprecedented pricing for that material here. That really ramped up starting back in January, February, and kind of peaked late May, and now has been plummeting almost as fast as it rose. But during that time period, CHEP really, they looked at this and they said, we can't economically produce a pallet given the price of this lumber at this time. Because since it is a pooled pallet, meaning that they retain ownership of that pallet throughout the lifespan of that pallet, the initial investment in that pallet at those price levels did not make it economically feasible for them to continue to produce pallets into their pool the way they would traditionally to replace retired pallets out of the pool. So that further constrained their supply to their big users. Now, with the shift in consumer habits, we're all buying more online. We're all having it delivered to our door. No one is going out necessarily and shopping the way they used to. Caught, I think, some organizations unaware as well. And then, you know, we all suffered through some of the shortages that we would have never expected, right? We had the run on toilet tissue. We had the run on hand sanitizer and all these multitude of things, canned soup you couldn't buy for a while. It just, you know, it was just seemed like it was one thing after the other. And so the larger conglomerate organizations in that food and beverage industry, you know, they were demanding more pool pallets than they had ever done in the past, trying to meet these supplies, these demands for what they were supplying to the marketplace. And I know at one point, one of our facilities where we work with the CHIP program out east, they were supplying to a P&G plant out there. They had at that plant, which was producing paper products, a line of semis 7 miles back, trying to come into that facility to pick up the paper goods to get them out to the consumers. So, I mean, that's how these demands just skyrocketed at certain points. So, CHIP really had no choice but to start trying to allocate a little bit to take care of all their customers. I think that is starting to ease a little bit right now, but it is still definitely affecting the recycled market because the most traditional substitute for that CHIP pallet or a PICO pallet is going to be a recycled 4840 wooden pallet. And that's why we've seen demand for that skyrocket as well, because these companies were traditionally, they were using as many as the large users are using 3,000 to 5,000 to 7,000 pallets a day at these facilities. So in terms of what that does for us, that means that's 6, 7, 10 truckloads of pallets a day. And, you know, for those that aren't necessarily familiar with our industry, that is a tremendous amount of pallets to be producing in a given day and do that day over day, 5 to 7 days a week. So we've seen the recycled market, which had already been tightening, again, for a number of years, because it is a very cost-effective pallet to use, especially versus a new pallet, has just been further pressed upon to try to supplement some of these shortfalls from the pools. And prices on the recycled pallets these days are well above probably what a new pallet was pre-pandemic. And I think that's going to certainly, you know, continue on here for the foreseeable future as we're getting to the part of the year where you traditionally do see demand for recycled pallets start to increase as we head for the holiday season.
That's a great segue, actually, which is if we think about what we're going through now, and if we think about those three markets, pooled pallets, you know, new white wood pallets or the used pallet market, who's going to recover first and why?
I think you'll see probably the pool market recover first, just because the lumber prices for manufacturing those pallets have started to come back in line where they'll be willing to start putting new pallets back into the pool. I think that will be closely followed by new pallets. And that's really just a matter of trying to, again, get wood fiber to our plants. There's really two large challenges facing those small pallet shops that I talked about earlier right now. And it's labor and it's lumber. And, you know, most shops have one or the other, and it's kind of a hit or miss on a day-to-day level when you have both. Because of the government's response to the pandemic and what they've done with some of the additional benefits that they've offered to people as the economy slowed down and a lot of people were out of work, we've been challenged to draw people back into our workforce. And we've had to go out and raise wages and you know, offer incentives like many segments of the marketplace are doing to try to bring people back back into the workforce. And, you know, these jobs will fill at some point, but I think there'll be some of the last jobs to be filled. Working in a pallet shop is very difficult work. It's very challenging. It is can be somewhat dangerous. You're working out in the elements traditionally. And, you know, with some of the heat we have in the summer or the cold in the winter, you know, it's not a job that a lot of people would covet, that's for sure. So we will get those workers back at some point, but the industry as a whole right now is struggling to attract labor, which means shops that were traditionally producing 5 or 10 or 12 loads a week, which again makes up a large percentage of the pallets produced in the United States, their production levels are cut by 50%, 40%. So we're losing all that production right now, which continues to maintain and keep the prices high. So sawmillers are facing the same struggle on the labor front. So the lumber has, in the hardwood market now, has risen by about 35% in the last 5 weeks on the hardwood side. So why the softwood is tumbling and dropping again as fast as it went up. Now we're just now starting to see the rise and increase on the hardwood. And the recycled pallets will remain high because, again, mostly a labor issue. I know a number of facilities across the country that have tens of thousands of what we call cores sitting in their yard, meaning this is a pallet that was broken. It's coming out of something like a Walmart distribution center or a distribution center somewhere, and it's been reloaded onto a trailer to be repaired and then put back into the distribution chain. And so we call that a core because that's really the raw material for a recycler. They have these cores sitting there to be repaired, to be inspected, repaired, you know, made back into a usable pallet and put back into the supply chain, but they don't have the labor to do those things right now. So the pallets are sitting there. We just can't get them back into the market the way we normally would. You know, but as that situation again starts to alleviate itself, I think we'll see those prices drop down. But I don't believe we're going to see any significant improvement in that marketplace on the recycled side until we get to probably the beginning of 2022, the first quarter of 2022, because demand for recycled pallets always picks up in the second half of the year as retail picks up, as we head towards what are the traditional stronger retail months with the holidays coming. Demand for those pallets increases as well as warehouses want to get stocked and these organizations want to have their products available to the consumers. So we don't get those pallets coming back out that typically that we would until after the holidays pass.
Last question. And you've got a lot of customers. You might be talking to news customers. What's your advice? Is there a strategy? You know, how should my listeners approach this issue?
That's a great question, Bob. And I think the best strategy I can suggest to customers would be have a close relationship or develop a close relationship with your current pallet providers. And hopefully that's a give and take relationship and understanding the challenges that they are experiencing right now and working with them to develop really something that's more of a win-win situation. I think the organizations who have traditionally maybe shopped their pallet business, you know, every year or every other year and change vendors regularly based on cost only, probably finding themselves very challenged in the marketplace right now. I think organizations that have developed a good relationship with their vendor base probably find themselves in a better spot right now. You know, the customers that value the service aspect and the quality aspect, as well as the pricing aspect, you know, those are the organizations I think that are probably navigating through this a little easier at this point. So if I had one suggestion for those out there that are in the market looking to buy pallets is, if you've got a source now, do your best to maintain your relationship with that source and try to grow it and build on it and work together with them. And I think, you know, they'd find their way through this a little easier.
Thanks, Doug. You know, to that last point, it reminds me of an anecdote way back when I worked in the family business. What drove home to me how many people viewed pallets was I was calling on somebody at a plant in Memphis, Tennessee. And the guy said to me, you know, you come to see me like every month. And, you know, I buy all this other stuff. Pallets are something I just don't want to think about. And I said to him, how much money do you spend a year on pallets? He goes, $2 million. And I said, well, what's one of those important things you buy? And he told me, I said, how much do you spend on that? He goes, $2 million. So what struck home to me is he was spending as much on pallets as this other thing. He just didn't want to think about pallets. And it feels as if we're now at a time where you really do have to realize that you can't ship your goods without a pallet. And it's time to start giving your pallet buying a little bit more thought. And as you say, developing, you know, a relationship with your supplier, because you're going to shut down your plant if you can't get your shipping platform. Anyway, that's all the time we have today. I want to thank Doug Geyer for joining me. I hope you'll be back for our next episode. Until then, for Supply Chain Management Review and Talking Supply Chain, I'm Bob Troublecock. And again, thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate the time.
Talking Supply Chain is produced by Supply Chain Management Review and Peerless Media. You can find it on scmr.com, on iTunes, or under SC247, or just Google SC247 podcasts. For more information, be sure to visit scmr.com. We hope you'll join us again.